Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We are looking forward to the show tonight. We've got on journalist from the New York Post, Heather Robinson, and BB Diamond will be joining us as well. So we've got a lot of topics we want to hit with those two ladies. We are looking forward to that. But first off, I want to talk about what's going on with these Texas Democrats who fled the state so they did not have to vote. They met with Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and now we are finding out 6 of the 50 of them that were on that airplane have now tested positive for COVID-19. They were not wearing masks like people who have to fly public wear, and they were all vaccinated accordingly. And now it is coming out that someone in Nancy Pelosi's office has even tested positive for COVID-19 due to contact with these Texas Democrats. They should have never left Texas. They should be at work, working, doing their job. I don't know why they are allowed to do this. When you leave, that should disqualify you from even having a vote on that, because you're not there to vote. It's just a stall tactic from the Democrats. And yeah, obviously we hope that they are all okay from the COVID-19, but what a disgraceful thing for them to do. And you know what, Rob, these Texas Democrats could have really used is some healthy cell. They could have gotten the REM sleep. The immune super boost is what they really need, because that's supporting their immune system. While the go can be simple with healthy cells, immune boosting nutrients, and one travel ready gel pack. So people who don't take pills, healthy cell is perfect. It comes in a gel. There's also healthy cell focus and recall, which boosts short-term focus and long-term brain power with healthy cells focus and recall vitamins. I think those Texas Democrats could really use some healthy cell. How about you, Rob?
Absolutely. I was going to say that also. And if they had used the promo code out loud, they would have gotten 20% off of their first order. Like, what are they waiting for? Healthy cell, it has zinc, it has everything that they need to build up a strong immune system. But instead, what do they bring with them? Oh, well, they decided to bring with them Miller Lite on the private jet. Can you believe it? Now let's think back when the China virus first hit the Trump White House. The media was in hysterics, reporting about it day in, day out. Who got it? Did Ivanka get it? Did Jared get it? Did Melania? Did Trump? It kept going on and on and on and on. Dr. Fauci coming out talking about, oh yeah, that's a super spreader. The event they had in the Rose Garden was a super spreader. Now we have the Democrats coming from Texas, definitely a super spreader, on a private jet. Who cares about global warming? Who cares about all the fuel that that plane is putting up in the environment? Just get us out of Texas and to DC with our Miller Lite and Corona. And I'm hearing, so they say, they had all been vaccinated. That's what I'm hearing. But of course they had to search the records. It was all under wraps. They didn't want it to get out. But there they were, smiling on the airplane, thinking they were doing something ballsy. And the media, oh my God, how they talked it up and they reported on it. You had Joy Reid saying that, oh, they're fighting for democracy. Don Lemon, this is what democracy looks like. They're fighting for the right to vote so that black people and brown people could vote. This is 2021. And if a black and brown person does not have an ID, by God, you shouldn't be voting. You've got to have an ID to get the government money that Biden is sending out to you. You have to have an ID to get Miller Lite. So what is it that they don't have an ID? It's all for show. Or they're making it difficult for black people to vote. It's always the oppression of black people. For me, it is an insult. I know how to vote. I know how to get an ID. Before my grandmother, God rest her soul, died at the age of 95, she had an ID. And she would get up and vote. So who are these black people that don't have an ID? Well, here, you will hear this from me tonight on this show. If they don't have an ID, then they don't need to vote, because they might mess it up for everyone else. If illegal aliens can cross the border and get an ID to get public assistance, what is keeping black people from getting an ID? It's a ruse. It's a game. It's a narrative that they keep pushing. I don't need your sympathy. I knew how to get an ID as well as other black people. So all those black elitist, bougie blacks that are saying that blacks can't get an ID and that they're making it difficult for them to vote is a bunch of baloney, a bunch of malarkey, as Joe Biden would say. Stop it now. It's an embarrassment. It is easy to get an ID. And as for Kamala Harris, who's talking about Kinko's, you can't find a Kinko's in a rural area. Okay, you can't find a Kinko's, but you have a library. And again, if these people are getting booze, they can get an ID. It's embarrassing. And the super spreader, the whole super spreader deal, taking it to DC, why isn't the media talking about it? Well, you know, like you said, we've got Heather on with us tonight.
Well, thanks. I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, Rob. Of course, the Democrats are characterizing these efforts as voting rights efforts. But my understanding from the conservative media is that really what this is about is matters as simple as what you said, requiring ID to vote, also trying to prevent non-citizens from voting, which, you know, would be the reason for requiring ID, preventing people from voting twice, some of the alleged improprieties we all heard about and heard testimony about regarding the last election, last presidential election. I think this is an effort to try to prevent similar problems going forward. But you have the mainstream media spin. I was just looking at the New York Times, and pretty much every headline is voting rights. Republicans seek to stop effort to secure voting rights. Again, this is the use of language to I think, mischaracterize something that for the most part seems to me to be an effort to ensure one man or woman, one vote, and accuracy in terms of who's voting. In terms of this effort to run to Washington, D.C., it does seem to be something of a stunt. And I hear you. I don't have any problem with requiring ID. I mean, I think if Democrats are really so concerned about rights and about inclusion, they could start a program to help people get easier ID. I mean, for some people who maybe don't drive, who don't travel, don't have a passport, you know, I think there are probably things they could do to make it more accessible. And I think that would be a more reasonable approach than simply not requiring ID, which, as you said, is required to get everything from a prescription, to get on an airplane, to get a government check. You know, I think to cash a check, I think you need ID. So, yeah, it doesn't seem very reasonable. But yes, we're definitely seeing some political theater for sure.
No, I agree with you, Heather. Good point. But as you stated so eloquently, you need ID to get on welfare, ID to go into an office. They needed ID to get on the plane, likely. So I don't understand this thought that Black people can't get ID. That is literally a lie. Rob mentioned his 95-year-old grandmother. My 98-year-old grandfather from Mississippi had ID. And it makes Black people look stupid, and that's offensive. But leftists don't mind using people, using human beings in an exploitive way if it's for their agenda. This is outrageous. Black people know how to get ID, ladies and gentlemen. How do you think millions of Black people are driving, flying, just functioning and day-to-day function? I live in a Black community. I don't know one Black person who doesn't have some form of ID. They pull out their family first card. They have to have ID. They have to have ID to get that. So it doesn't make sense to everyday average Black people when these liberals, leftists say we can't get ID. We know better than that. And to Heather's point, instead of the Democrats fleeing and being silly, Why don't they try to pass laws and make it easier for American citizens to get ID? When we go to the DMV, you have to have 6 points of ID. You have to have your birth certificate. You have this or that. What are they requiring from illegal aliens? If they've lowered the standards for illegal aliens to get ID, they should do the same thing for American citizens to make it easier to get ID. I mean, what the Democrats are doing is deplorable, absolutely deplorable. And I don't want to go off on another topic, but it's interesting to me that three of them were fully vaccinated, and yet they tested positive for COVID-19, after being fully vaccinated. But that's another topic. Thank you.
That's another topic, but it is definitely a topic that we will discuss. But just going back to the ID, when you were saying lowering the standards and saying that Blacks can get an ID, I mean, this seems to be pervasive within the Democrat Party, that Blacks can't do this, therefore, they're the oppressed groups. We have to lower the standards. Blacks can't obey the law. So when they're arrested, we got to look at it and then let them out. Blacks can't do this and Blacks can't do that. I'm a Black man. You're telling me that I can't do something that everyone else is doing. And what's equally interesting is that if you were to take a Black person from Jamaica, one of the Caribbean islands, or even from Africa, and bring them to the United States, they would be able to succeed and do everything else. But when it comes to the Black American, all of these excuses are put out there. Okay, let's look at the fat elephant in the room. Yes, there was slavery. Yes, there's discrimination. Yes, there's racism. But Black people have soldiered on and have fought through it all. And for me, and to me, that is commendable that my ancestors were able to kick it in the butt and survive. And here I stand today, an educated Black man. So when you say that we can't do it and they can't do this, is it that they can't do it or you don't want them to do it? Is it that you want them to say that they need your help? Because white liberals are quick to always want to help the Black man. They're quick to tell the Black man, you're being oppressed, you just don't know it. That's so farther from the truth. We can do it just like everyone else. Just give us the opportunity and allow us to do it and stop trying to coddle us. I can get an ID and go vote. So as Heather said, as opposed to jumping on a plane with your Miller Lite and Corona, why don't you stay in Texas and say, let's help these Black people that we've identified that don't have an ID, let's help them get an ID. Let's help these Black people understand that this is where you need to go to vote. To me, that would be more helpful than flying all the way to DC and becoming a super spreader. You've infected the vice president. And there she is going to Walter Reed on a Sunday and putting out a presser saying that, oh, is this a routine checkup? No, it is not. Let's check the logs. Let's look at the logs and see if her going on last Sunday, Sunday before last, or whatever she went, was on the logs for a routine checkup, because it wasn't. That is a bold-faced lie. Now, imagine had Mike Pence done that. You would have had the media looking deep and deep and deep and then getting ready to impeach him because they would have said he lied. But with Kamala Harris, let's just look the other way. No, we're not going to look the other way. We're going to look that way, and we're going to call it out. Her office is already in turmoil because of the way she's treating her staff members. And no, it's not because she's a Black woman that there's such scrutiny. It's because she's ineffective. It's because she is in over her head. Let's just call it the way it is. I'm sick of all of these excuses being attributed to the skin color of someone or the gender. She's in over her head. If you go back and look at the records when she was in California as the attorney general, she was horrible. There was a lot of turnover in her office. There was inner fighting. And the mayor, former mayor of San Francisco, got it right. He said she would be good at anything, but do not make her the vice president. And he started laughing. So he knew that something was up. Willie Brown. So why are they trying to cover up for her? And that's, again, that's my question I have for you, Heather. Why do you think the media they're being so biased when it comes to reporting on this White House. It is as if though they are a functioning arm, the media that is, of the White House, an adjunct division or office of the White House, along with big tech. Mm-hmm. It's like they run clearance through them. Do you see this as a journalist? Are they talking about this in your world, Heather?
I do see it, Rob, and I think we've seen it for quite some time that the media has become essentially the mainstream media. We're talking mainstream ABC, CBS, NBC, the cable, MSNBC, CNN, even Hollywood and the late night talk shows. They're basically kind of an arm of the Democratic Party. They have certain parameters along which they think, and you can pretty much predict on almost any issue how they will align. And they're entitled to their views. And what really disturbs me, though, is the way it's presented, not as their views, as we've discussed. They don't acknowledge that they have these strident opinions, and they, to the point that they have difficulty tolerating any other views, they present it as truth. I mean, when we talk about and read about the election, for instance, I keep seeing these lines like Trump's lies about the elections. I mean, even if you're skeptical, you know, Trump's claims would be a more journalistically appropriate way to refer to that. But, you know, you hear this heavy-handed kind of like Orwellian, there's like this sort of layer of, I guess it's almost like this, it's like if I'm picturing like a cake with icing slathered over it, really thick. It's like this thick, it's not even subtle kind of, you know, almost every headline about something like the election, you know, something that, you know, half the country saw differently. I mean, it's presented as a fait accompli that, you know, This is all Trump's views and his supporters' perceptions are all lies. And, you know, anybody who disagrees is a conspiracy theorist and a loon. And yes, as we know, this is not new. This has been going on now for years. And and it's very, very disturbing. And in terms of Kamala, I think that she's a darling of the media and the left, you know, because I think she does fit the image that they want. She's glamorous and beautiful, and she's a Black woman. She's smart and all that, but she also, you know, no one dares to question anything about her background, some of her alleged kinds of, you know, improprieties and excesses. And I think that one thing I will say, you know, I do think she attempted a little honesty in her discussion about the border recently when she asked people not to come. I think that Biden has dumped that on her. And really, it's it's a mess that he's exacerbated. And so in some ways, even though the media gives her a pass, I think she's kind of been a little saddled with something impossible there, because not to say that she would necessarily be the person to solve it, but any effort to solve it on her part is pretty much stymied. I mean, even if she wanted to, he's weak. He won't enforce the law at the border. And so this has been supposedly her job, but how she's supposed to do that job, if the commander is weak. So, that's kind of my take.
Well, you said something that I think that I want to revisit as far as the media covering for this White House, because I went to journalism school, as did you. And I remember one of the classes that I took that the professor said that journalists stick together. And when you try and silence one of the voices, that no matter where they are or what spectrum they're on, because then journalists weren't known to be politically involved. But if it was covering a story, they would all stand together and say, you can't silence our voices. And now I don't see that happening. When they silenced the voice of the New York Post, when they were reporting on Hunter Biden, Twitter did. Not a word came out from the other news organizations as to say, you can't do that. This isn't fair. It was almost as if though they were saying, yes, do it. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, from that point on, you see them now attacking Fox News, Newsmax, the New York Post, and saying they're irrelevant, they should be quiet because they're putting out disinformation, as opposed to saying, you might not agree with them, but this is what they're saying.
Sure.
So it's like everything that they're saying is coming out of the White House. So I wonder now, if I were to go back or go visit a college campus and sit in on one of the journalism courses, what are they teaching these students? Are they teaching them to be socially active? Because that isn't the role of a journalist. You report the facts. And if you want your opinion, that's what the op-ed piece is for. But again, that changed around the, I think it was 1998 or 97, when the Associated Press said that they were going to allow their reporters to give their opinions. I am okay with that, but they need to clearly state that this is their opinion. But now, all of the news just about is opinion news, even on Fox. And we had a show once that I was trying to explain to people the difference between opinion, what's real journalism, and when you have opinion journalism. But now on Fox, everything seems to be opinion mixed in with real news. And it's wrong because people don't understand it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the problem, Rob. I mean, I would defend opinion journalism. I'm an opinion journalist primarily. I also write features and have been a news reporter, but I think opinion journalism at its best, and I would direct readers to the Wall Street Journal opinion page and the New York Post, excellent writing, and it involves assembling facts and logic in support of your perspective, and that's certainly a great form of journalism. But as you said, Rob, there's a difference between disclosing that you have a position, and in an opinion journalist, a good one, a good commentator, is doing kind of like what we're doing right now, hopefully providing added insight and opinion based on studying the news and the facts and information, and maybe giving it a little bit of a framework, you know, in your case, a colorful and interesting and, you know, sometimes humorous and insightful framework. I mean, we hopefully make it interesting and give that added sort of perspective and edge, but it's based on careful study of the issues. So I would defend that. And I think that's what we're doing. I think we're doing a form of opinion journalism. It's not just opinion that we're pulling out of our, you know what, based on nothing, but, you know, our feelings about how Kamala Harris dressed that day. You know what I mean? We're studying what's happening and what are the facts and what are people doing, and we're giving our interpretation to the facts. But I think part of the problem is that now, as you said, Rob, people don't understand it. You know, I think that, you know, Fox News actually does a pretty good job of separating their news coverage from their commentary shows, which are clearly commentary. I mean, yes, they do say fair and balanced, but I think that everybody can tell this is commentary from a conservative perspective, and it's going to marshal facts, you know, in support of a certain perspective. So I think there's less sneakiness about that when it comes to Fox than, say, with these other networks who have commandeered, you know, a certain perspective, and they're characterizing any other perspective as not just wrong, but as not real and as total loony fanaticism, and they've just dismissed and degraded the other perspective in the name of some kind of supposedly objective truth, which is, that's what's part of the problem. They're making claims that they're not even trying to fulfill. I mean, they're not being objective. They're being opinion journalists, and not good ones either, without acknowledging that that's what they're doing. And,
right.
And you know,
I mean,
so
I'm
that's
okay.
The problem.
Right. And I'm okay with opinion journalists. However, when it is used or done, people should clearly state this is mm-hmm. an opinion. Now we're talking, we're having this discussion
yes.
based on facts, and then we're given our opinion on the facts that we have seen. It's pretty evident that these are our opinions. And sometimes I will say, if you don't like what I'm saying, challenge me on it.
And they're not exposed to, say, conservative views or independent views much because our educational institutions in this country, the public schools and most colleges and universities, are so liberal-leaning, so now I'd say illiberal, leftist-leaning, that kids come up, they aren't, I don't think they're really getting much exposure to the other point of view, and they're certainly not in school, not probably in their, I don't know about the religious institutions. I'm Jewish, and I can tell you that most of those are pretty liberal now. You know, at home, whatever, I don't know, unless they're from a conservative sort of family, you know, they're coming up all through the institutions getting, you know, one predominant view. Then if they watch TV, they go to the movies, that's reinforced. Same in college, same in, you know, grad school. So I think they're in like shock to hear another view sometimes. And we've all experienced this, people who just sometimes they'll engage me. They will initiate the political discussion. And then when I am in any way, even though I try to be respectful, you know, if I'm even the slightest bit strident or confident in the way I assert a counter argument, it's like they react as if they're being disrespected. They don't understand strenuous debate or discussion. Many liberals, and it doesn't stop them. The fact that they've initiated this discussion with me does nothing to ameliorate their feelings that they are being attacked. You know, they experience disagreement as attack, you know, even when it is respectful, if it's at all energetic. And I think it just has to do with, it's essentially a kind of brainwashing they've experienced.
Yeah, well said, Heather. And you are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with lots more discussion with BB Diamond and Heather Robinson on After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
We're back. Dark with Rob and Andrew. And before we went to break, Heather and I were talking about the role of journalism and how it has changed and how it seems as if though the mainstream media is functioning as an active arm of the Democrat Party. And we noticed this in 2016. And even before then, in 2013, when Barack Obama became the president, it was almost as if though the media did not want anyone to attack him. They wanted to explain whatever he didn't explain, they tried to explain it away. And I found that interesting because he didn't necessarily like them. He saw them as a necessary evil, but he really didn't like them. And he wasn't open to talking to them the way Donald Trump was at the time. When he was president, Donald Trump would always speak to them. I thought he spoke to them a bit too much because they would just take his words and misconstrue them. So I'm thinking they don't even have to talk to him. They can just make it up. But that being said, we do see a concerted effort by the media to function as a pseudo-government or an arm of the Democrat Party along with big tech. And I think that is extremely dangerous. Big tech, social media, Facebook, and Twitter, they're not mentioned in the Constitution. The media is mentioned. A free press is mentioned. But social media is not a free press, albeit they do function like a press publishing company, but they're not. And if they want to take on that responsibility, then they need to work within the parameters of a free press. And in doing so, they cannot silence voices that don't agree with them, as they have done with many people on their platform. They cannot censor free speech, as they are doing. Now, I found it interesting when the Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, came out and said that the White House was working with Facebook on disinformation. That's the new exotic, sexy word now, disinformation. Now, my question is, who's going to define it and who's going to decide when to take it down and who's going to make the decision as to you can say it and they can't say it? Because right now we know that the only people that they're looking at are conservatives. Why are they looking at the voices of conservatives? Because they're the voices of reason? Because we're questioning, as we are allowed to do within our constitutional rights? But they're silencing our voices and not the voices on the left. Not the voices that are constantly coming up with all this crazy stuff about COVID-19 and wearing 12 masks and children having to wear masks and to follow the science, and they're not following the science. And then just the other day, just to pivot just a little bit, they decided to create an emoji of a man having a baby. Or a man in the way of having a baby. I will say this again. Men cannot now and not ever have a baby. Maybe what they're with all this, you know, gain of function, they're trying to change the hormonal things within our bodies so that men can have babies. I don't know. But men can have a baby. I don't care if you've had a change or sex change or whatnot. If you still have your female or male genitalia, you are a male female. I don't care how you change it. And I think once BB said on her show with Barbara from Harlem about the chromosomes, XY chromosomes, you can't change that. So you might change your outward appearance, but the DNA and everything else within you, the chromosomes, that can't change. But again, the media functioning as an arm of the government, they're putting out all this stuff. And it just doesn't stop there. The other day I was watching a show on Netflix that was a really nice show. And they decided to throw in something about race. I'm like, are you serious? It's like the entire world, or not the world, but the United States is being affected by the lies that the left is pulling out there. To me, that's disinformation. And it needs to be stopped. But who's going to stop them? The Democrats control both houses, and the Republicans, they're so busy stumbling over each other and trying to say something that's going to just make the 6 o'clock news, that they really, to me, don't seem to be supporting what they're actually saying. Only a few of them are doing it. And as one of our guests said, it's all about clickbaits. And if I can say something so that people will look at me, because we enjoy being the party of minority so that we could keep raising money. That's not how it's supposed to be. And that is the reason why Donald Trump was elected, because people got tired of these same old politicians. And I'm getting tired of them. When I was listening to Barbara from Harlem show, they're saying the exact same thing. BB Diamond, you guys are saying the exact same thing. So BB, talk to us. What are your thoughts on this whole media functioning as an arm of the government and the disinformation that they're putting out there with CRT and with men being women and women being men, which is so far from the truth? Give me your thoughts.
You know, that's a good point. And it concerns me that the media acts as the arm of the Democratic Party. It is the, they spout the lies from the left. It's not even balanced. It's not based on science. Men, they will be a male born as a male, like Bruce Jenner. He will be a male until the day he dies. You can change the outward appearance. We get that. But the XY chromosomes that marked him as a male cannot be changed. It would have to kill him or something to get him to change. He could never be a female, truly a female. But what's interesting and scary at the same time about the media is they just don't seem to have any interest in other views, particularly conservative, anything that challenges the narrative. They just follow the stream of thought from the left, like January 6th was an insurrection, not mentioning the violence by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. That just really just goes out the window, no mention of it. The media in this country is disgusting. I don't watch the news anymore. I get my news from like you and Andrew, from sources like you, from Steve Bannon, War Room Panic. I don't listen to the mainstream media, including Fox anymore, because I just feel like we're being fed a narrative. And I was so glad that Senator Rand Paul called Dr. Fauci, because whenever a doctor opposes what Fauci or the CDC says, they get censored. Their posts get taken down. And these are doctors just as qualified as Fauci. But if you question it, you get censored, and there's no trying to balance the picture. It's just shutting conservatives, or not even conservatives, if you just disagree with their views on COVID-19, on the vaccines, on what happened with the election, they just shut you down. And that's the problem with the American media. It's terrible. If you don't agree with the transgender ideology, you don't have to. It's not about hating transgenders, but this is not based on science. If you say that, you get censored. Your post gets removed. It's outrageous what's going on. And the big tech is using, it's like they're in limbo, because they're not in the Constitution. They're really not the press, but they're using Section 230 and other means to censor, and something must be done. Thank you.
Yeah, BB, I could not agree more with what we are seeing with Dr. Fauci being allowed to run total rule over the COVID-19 since the beginning. If you remember, in the summer of 2020, there was a big push for hydroxychloroquine, and a lot of these doctors were being censored online. They were being banned online. It was just very unfortunate that this is what they were using their social media platforms to do, is cancel these doctors, Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of big tech. Rob, what have been your thoughts on the censoring of doctors, like BB mentioned?
The censors of doctors? I think it's really bad. And it's really sad, because Dr. Fauci, also known as Dr. Fraud, isn't the only person who could give us insight on this virus. We had Dr. Steve Atlas, whom they tried to shut down and run out of town. Dr. Fauci Fraud has a problem, and that problem is with the truth. I'm sure he is a lovely man, outside of work, but he is in over his head. And I explained this before as to how different companies that he might have created that were doing the bidding for WHO and these other tests. Now, did he know about it? Maybe when it started, he did it. But the moment he found out, and then there was calling this lady the bat lady who got in contact with him and said, wait a minute, we're doing this. And then he tried to clean it up. He is lying. He has been called before the Senate and the House to testify. And each time he opens his mouth, he lies. And it's unacceptable. And he should be charged. Look at all the other people that have been charged for lesser crimes. He should be charged. They never charge these Democrat operatives when they are out there lying. And it is time they start being charged. There is only one system of the government, one system of the law, rather. There's only one justice, justice for all. I don't care who Fauci is. I don't care what he has done. He is lying. And because of his lies, millions of people around the world have died, not to mention the thousands in America. And you wanted to blame President Trump? Where is the media at pointing the finger at Dr. Fauci fraud? He lied. He is Dr. Death. Two times over, 10 times over. Again, I'm sure he is a lovely man. But unfortunately, loveliness is not going to help you out of this. I am glad when Senator Ron Paul goes after him because he is a liar. He needs to be called to task. He needs to be fired. Other people would have been fired. What is the media doing? You're supposed to be our eyes and our ears. You guys have fallen asleep. And why? Because Donald Trump came along and exposed you all. He upset the apple cart on both the left and the right. And for that, you want to constantly attack the man every day. They're talking about Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. He's out of office. What about Joe Biden? What has he done for us lately besides increase illegal border crossing? People don't want to take the vaccine. Why don't they want to take the vaccine? Well, remember he and Kamala came out and said, well, I wouldn't trust it. Why don't you guys come out and say, we got it wrong. We trust it now. And in doing so, reach out to President Trump and say, he is our brother. We want him to go out and talk about the virtues of the vaccine, but they won't do it because they're too selfish. They would hide behind Dr. Fauci, and I hope he has a great fall, a mighty fall. And as far as those Democrats that got the virus, I wish them well. I hope they get sick, get better. But it is their fault. They brought this on themselves, and now they have to live with it. And for that, I do not feel sorry for them. Because they run around talking about their virtues and what they're doing. I just want to remind them of one thing. Because of their carelessness, their pridefulness, being too prideful and too bold, and the Bible clearly speaks against that, being full and being bold, and having a haughty spirit, and lying. Now you guys take that on. Heather, what do you say?
I think you made a great point, Rob, about some need for patriotic unity. It would be great if they were to acknowledge that Kamala did make that irresponsible statement. You know, with all the criticism of Trump, I mean, he said it should be an individual choice, but he never said, I wouldn't take that vaccine or you shouldn't take that vaccine if so-and-so is in office, I don't think. I mean, that was really irresponsible of her. And I think, yes, going forward, I mean, I know some people who don't want to take the vaccine, and I do think it's a very personal thing. You know, we've heard from Democrats and liberals for decades about a woman's right to choose and the sanctity of the body. And I do think that you really have to be consistent in upholding that standard and that right. But I do think that, I mean, hopefully more people will become comfortable taking it. And if we could see bipartisan actual sort of push for that in a, you know, humble way, in a way that stresses maybe the need to, or the advantage of doing it. That, you know, I viewed doing it as a service for others. I viewed it like giving blood. You know, I'm not personally terrified of COVID-19. I'm very blessed to be healthy and relatively young. But I felt like for the elderly and the, you know, compromised among us, well, you know, what's it to me? What's the skin off me to do this? So I think if we could marshal some unity and some patriotic spirit and just get a few more people to do it, that would be great.
But we can't marshal that patriotic duties for people to do it, because we have the people at the top, Biden and Kamala, who are compromised, and they will not come out and say that they got it wrong, which is horrible. I mean, we have the two people at the top. And again, what does the media do? The media gives them cover, as opposed to exposing them and saying, guys, come on, you've gotten this wrong. And now they want people to go from door to door, knocking on the door, saying, have you taken the virus? Sending out fillers to, you can't go here, you can't go there. They are taking away our constitutional rights, and people need to be made aware of it. It's more than just the virus, because in 2020, they kept telling us, okay, stay inside, wear your mask, and then it'll go away. Herd immunity, we need the vaccine, we get the vaccine, then it'll go away. And they keep kicking the can, and all while they're doing it, they're taking away our freedom. They're taking this away. They're taking that away. Yes, I do believe that there is a Delta strain that's out there. Again, I think that Fauci is behind it. But to take away our liberties, to keep us locked in, to force us to stay in, baby, I think that is wrong. And I see Barbara from Harlem, who's out there all the time, not stopping. What are your thoughts? Are you and Barbara afraid while you're going from place to place, spreading the truth, telling people, giving out the Constitution? What are your thoughts on this, Bebe?
No, that's a good point, and thank you. It's really not the government's, it's not their burden to take care of our health. That is up to us. Now, at the time when we were unfamiliar with the pandemic, COVID-19, I could understand it, although it wasn't really based on science, mandating masks. But now LA County has once again reinstated mask mandate. Why? This is not based on science. I'm concerned that we're still, the media is still pushing this fear. Now, COVID-19 is real. I'm not saying it's not real, but it's not the bubonic plague. You have a 98% recovery rate. So when my mother, Barbara from Harlem, and I go traveling, we do wear masks on occasion. It depends on the situation, but we do not want to live in fear. And I just feel like the media is pushing this fear factor because they're working arm in arm with the Democrats, who slowly but surely want to chip away at our rights. And the thought that President Biden would send people door to door to ask if we've been vaccinated, well, that could violate our Fourth Amendment, our right not to be subjected to unlawful searches and seizures in our place and our property. We also have HIPAA, the Privacy Act, the Health Privacy Act. So it seems to me that the Democrats are trying to slowly but surely condition us. They want to condition our children to wear masks when research has shown that children are the least likely to be infected with COVID-19. They're pushing a vaccine that they demonized while Trump was in office, the same vaccine that Trump got out through Operation Warp Speed, and Kamala and Biden denounced that they wouldn't take it because Trump was behind it. Now they're pushing it to the American people. They hurt their own cause. But what does concern me, and I'll wrap it up with this, is the attempt, and I see it, to try to condition us to obey the government. yes, at some level we should. I mean, we don't want to be renegades. But this thought that I think the Democrats, because they're crept toward Marxism and socialism, is that they want to condition us to listen and obey to the government, obey the government. And that's dangerous to me. If the government can strip our rights away, and I saw this on Facebook, if they can strip our rights away through an emergency, then the concern is they'll create emergencies in order to be able to slowly strip us of our rights. Thank you.
And that's exactly what they're planning on doing. This is all under a ruse. This is a guise for them to take away other rights. Again, you look back at 2020 when they told us all to stay in and people balked at it, but they got us to do it. And then when we did go out, we were fearful of our neighbors. We're walking around looking to see, who's going to die next? Is this person going to get COVID? What's going to happen? This has to stop. I mean, what they're doing to us now with this fear is, if you can put fear in people's heart, you're going to win them, because they're too afraid to say anything and too afraid to do anything. We've got to step away from fear. And I'm glad to hear, like you said, Bibi, when you and Barbara from Harlem, when you guys are going out, you know how to protect yourselves. You know, okay, I'm going to wear my mask at this particular time. I do the same thing. I don't like getting on the subway now without my mask because of all the odors and the smells. So I'm thinking from that viewpoint, I'm going to put my mask on. But if I'm outside in the opening, Andrew, I don't put my mask on. I mean, I can't get infected by being outside breathing clean, fresh air. Heather, what is your mom doing?
Yes. Well, I think I'm very proud of her, Rob, because this past year and a half, we certainly agree with you all that this was real, a real public health crisis and emergency, especially for the elderly. And we certainly did not flout the basic advice, but we did not stop living. We did not become paralyzed. And I think my mother, I can speak for her in this regard, realizes that health is about more than just avoidance. Yes, it's about taking precautions, and you have to employ common sense. You don't want to expose yourself to deadly or potentially debilitating viruses, you know, if you don't have to, any more than I think it's healthy to be promiscuous or to run around during cold and flu season in crowded, packed bars where people are sneezing and coughing. So the point is, my mother, you know, avoided crowds. We tended to eat in more, but we went for walks. We stayed as fit as we could. And I felt, you know, that was very important. I felt that the idea of staying in, and I agree with you. I think that was, in general, not good advice. I mean, I do remember there were, pockets of sanity even early on. I remember Sanjay Gupta on CNN saying, there's no reason not to go outside. There's no reason not to get outside in the sunshine. I mean, there were some people, some experts who were saying that the complete lockdown and fear of leaving the house was irrational. But I think that, yes, there was a total kind of panic. And I think that it should be said that this was and is remains a serious issue and crisis. And so I think some of this has been well-intentioned. I agree with Bibi that there are people with agendas trying to use this, and we need to learn from experience. We need to try to dispassionately look back on these months and sift through all of this upheaval to determine what decisions actually were helpful as far as we can tell, and which ones, such as the absolutely boneheaded, horrible decision of Andrew Cuomo to mandate that nursing homes accept COVID-19 infected elderly. He forced them to open their doors to death, basically. I mean, that was a terrible decision. So even if you're not going to get political or view it as criminal, just as a matter of learning, I think it's very important to look at what was decided, what did not work, not repeat that, because clearly this bug is going to remain with us for some time. And I think that the whole response to it, I mean, it needs to be dealt with. Denial is not the answer, but I think more common sense and more kind of targeting of the response. Early on, I remember Ben Shapiro saying something pretty smart, which was total lockdown is like crash dieting, and crash dieting doesn't work. You know, telling people you can't, you know, you have to cold turkey, no meat, no sugar, no alcohol, no bread, no fried food, no nothing. You know, some people are going to fall off the wagon. They're going to go crazy. Better to pick a couple things and stick to them. And I think that there was a sense to that. I think that the society was really pushed to the limit with these total lockdowns. And I think we saw all kinds of dysfunction emerge as a result. And so going forward, I think the response should be more targeted to what actually did work, as opposed to generalized overreaction and panic.
Yeah, well said, Heather. BB, you were talking about this before, about the mask mandates coming back in LA County, and then, of course, this push for vaccines. Where do you think this is going to end up? Do you think it's possible that we're going to have another series of lockdowns, another stimulus check maybe on the way for those who look forward to that kind of thing? Where do you think this is going?
That's a great question. I really don't think it's going to be what it was in 2020. I think too many of us are now awake. We know that the science is not really there. I guess the Delta variant is real and it's impacted India greatly, but I do not see a return to what happened in 2020. Too many states are not going to do that. It crushed. You'll have some blue states doing it. They don't, because the Democrats really don't care about the working class people in America who suffer, the middle class. But I do not think it would return back to the 2020 craziness with the lockdowns, the extreme measures. Thank you.
Yeah, we can only hope. Heather, what are your thoughts on that? You think the lockdowns are over with and it's just up to people getting vaccinated and wearing their mask out in public now?
I would certainly hope so. I forgive me for not answering directly your question, Rob. In answer to your question, my mom and I, we actually kind of had a blast, to be honest with you, through the pandemic. We took precautions, but we went for walks. We went out to lunch and sat outside when the restaurants were open. My mother had some careful, socially distanced little parties on rooftops with other elderly people who wanted to get out and, you know, distanced and had a couple glass of wine. And I think it's incredibly important for people to keep exercising, keep it outdoors all throughout. You know, I tried in a gentle way to blog and write about that because I was worried about people. You know, there's the issue of not being exposed, but then there's the issue of, if heaven forbid you are exposed, the odds that you're going to survive are better if you're fortunate to be healthy, if you're fit, if you're eating well, if you're rested, and if your attitude is a loving, excited, happy one with a sense of community. I think that you will have better odds of getting through something like that. I mean, it's no joke, but I think fit, healthy, happy people on average probably survive this better. And so I think that that was really important. And I think hopefully, you know, I don't mean to make it into a magic trick or say that just if you have a great attitude and you're fit, that means this can't hurt you. But I do think that with precautions, you should stay fit and social. And I hope people will.
Indeed. And with that message, we are going to wrap up tonight. Thank you so much to our guests tonight, Heather Robinson and BB Diamond, for joining us. And go and check them out on Facebook, Twitter, social media. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just recently celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time, and remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.